Sports Time Radio. All sports, all the time. Welcome to the Thursday edition of Sports Time Radio. I'm the guy who tried to pay for something twice this morning with an expired credit card before I realized it was expired. And, of course, since we're here at 5 o'clock, that means...
Start spreading the news.
That means Schomburg Stew is here. Yay!
In the house.
All right, if you'd like to come on to the podcast and talk to Stu or I, or maybe the both of us, 646-478-3753 is the number to do that. But if not, feel free to email us, sportstimeradio@hotmail.com. Anything else you need, head on over to sportstimeradio.com. Now, you know, the blogs go up on Wednesdays and Saturdays, so if you missed yesterday's, get yourself over there, check out what's going on. Of course, while you're at sportstimeradio.com, you can hit that link, get yourself over to the Sports Time Radio Facebook page. If you could like that while you're over there, well, hey, we greatly appreciate that. But don't forget, we also have the Twitter feed, which is at Sports Time Radio. Now, sadly, we're still trying to get Stu on Twitter. We'll get him there hopefully before the end of the year. But you can hunt me down at Burke Time, and as always, I will feed along anything you want to tell Stu, and we'll go that route. So, all right, here we go.
All right. Tough one to lose, huh?
Yeah, you know, I mean, obviously, I think the most important thing is the fact that John Lester looked good in his return.
He did.
You got a hit, and they didn't. You know, the Cubs didn't hit. They did score in the ninth. I was surprised to see that. I had went away by then, but yeah, still a tough 2-1 loss. And if the bullpen wouldn't have given up that run, we possibly could still be playing.
Surprisingly, how they got their run, of course, was a shocker.
Yeah, especially with the wind blowing in. I wasn't expecting the Alberto Almora home run, but, you know, it wasn't really blowing in that hard. So, it's definitely a possibility. I mean, the tough part for them is, you know, Ross Stripling gave the Dodgers a good outing but couldn't quite get the five. So, didn't give anything up. And it was he only threw 76 pitches, but they hooked him and ends up not getting a decision.
Yeah, that had to be bad. I'm not quite sure where they pulled him.
Yeah, you know, the only thing I was thinking is I know the plan was to use him as a reliever this year, and I'm wondering if just maybe he's not stretched out. And, you know, they just kind of thought that was as far as he was going to be able to go.
Yeah, I'm sure he wasn't happy about being pulled with one more out remaining to get credit for the victory.
Yeah, he just needed the one more, you know, the one more to go there, and just didn't kind of work out that way. But yeah, you know, I mean, you know, the tougher part of the loss is the fact that, you know, the Cubs out hit the Dodgers. Dodgers only had four hits. You know, the Cubs ended up with seven, but the Dodgers get them in the right place, and you know, they get two runs and the Cubs get one.
Yeah, interesting to see Baez hit that ball a near home run and only get a single out of it. And it wasn't like he was loafing out of the batting box either, because he hustled pretty quickly. But that ball was caromed off the wall, and they held him to a long single.
So, but you know, we'll see. I think what the Cubs still they still took two out of three in the series, right? So
they took two out of three, and they're still one game over 500. And now they are going into some intense heat over the weekend. When they travel to Phoenix, where the weather today was 99. And it's going to continue that way over the weekend.
Yeah, you know, it'll work out pretty much the same travel-wise for both teams. As Arizona also had the early game today. They shut Pittsburgh out 4-0. I believe they ended up sweeping that series.
I caught
some of the end of it, and, you know, Zach Greinke looked really good. So on the plus side, at least the Cubs won't have to face him. The Diamondbacks, they've been playing, pretty well. Obviously, playing pretty well in Pittsburgh, so it'll be a good matchup.
Well, he also had a shutout against the Cubs, didn't he? When he faced them last week.
I don't remember. Once the games start piling up, I can't remember one game from the next times.
Yeah. So right now, St. Louis is leading the National League Central.
Yeah, that's because they know how to beat Milwaukee, and nobody else seems to. So.
And remember, that was my selection to win the NL Central this year.
Milwaukee?
No, St. Louis. I picked St. Louis.
They had some good pitching performances in that series, and the Brewers have got off to a hot start, and now they're a 500 team. And that's always the odd thing about kind of everybody jumping on the bandwagons early. I know most guys have already made Christian Yelich the back-to-back MVP award winner, and I think he was 0 for that series against the Cardinals. So, it's a little tough to, kind of be like, oh, yeah, this guy is this and this guy is that when we're 25 games into a 162-game season. So,
But that does point out what you have alluded to for some time now, is that no matter how good an offensive team you have, and obviously the Brewers do have a good offensive team, pitching to go along with it, you're not going to do all that well.
Well, didn't they just fix that by signing Gio Gonzalez? You don't think he's the answer?
Well, they may have signed him, but so far, he certainly hasn't turned out to be the answer for them as yet.
That's not going to be their saving grace. He's not going to, pitch like he did for them last year and, save them the rest of the way. Of course, he's another guy that you're probably only going to get 5 innings a start out of. So that doesn't really solve their bullpen issue that they're destined to have down the road here, or maybe having now. So
there are certain pitchers who have one career year, but that's it. The rest of their time in the majors, they're mediocre. And he may be that kind of a pitcher.
Yeah, well, I think he's had more, he had one great year, but he's had some good years, down the road there with Washington. He had some really solid years for them.
He did.
He's not an ace. I mean, he was never going to be the ace the White Sox kind of pushed him as when they drafted him way back when, and then traded him and got him back in a trade and then traded him again. So,
I hope the Brewers aren't counting on him to do what he did last year.
Well, that's all.
I don't think they're counting on him to do with I'm sure they're not counting on him to repeat how effective he was last year, but they're expecting a little bit more than what he's done so far.
Yeah, at this point, I mean, all they're looking, what they need is innings, and they're going to take it from, anybody they can get it. I mean, if they thought you could give them innings, they'd be calling you and, trying to get you in there. They need something to, save this team in the end, because while it's fantastic strategy. I've been saying all along, eventually those guys run out of gas, and it's only April, and a lot of those guys look like they're out of gas. So
it's true. I would, if they did sign me, I'd try to fool the batters with my knuckle curveball.
Yes. So, well, here, you can kind of look at this here. Julius Chassin was, going to be the Brewers' ace. He was going to be their number one guy. He's now made 6 starts that have covered 28 and a third innings. So they're not even getting an average of 5 innings out of the guy who's supposed to be their number one starter. The only starter here who it looks like is averaging over 5 innings a start is Zach Davies. And he's barely over. In 5 starts, he's got 27.1 innings. So, imagine the strain on that bullpen. you know, when you're looking at covering four innings a game a night, you know, that's, it doesn't matter how good your bullpen is, eventually it's going to run out of gas.
Yeah, and Reddy Hader has been hit a couple of times since he got off to his great start.
So, yeah, you know, and they've used him oddly. You know, there's been a couple times early he went out for two innings when I didn't think it was necessary. And, you know, it's going to get to the point where you have to wonder if just Craig Counsell is overmanaging, kind of a la Joe Maddon when the Cubs get into the playoffs. And it's like any time a guy gives up a hit, you wonder if he's going to stay in the game, even if it's the first inning. And, yeah, I, but then again, you wonder if maybe he just doesn't trust anybody else down there. I mean, with Jeffress back, that should help. But, yeah, you know, there's some big ERAs in that Milwaukee bullpen.
Yeah, there sure are. And that doesn't bode well for the remainder of the season for them. Of course, it's still, as we pointed out many times, there's a long way to go. They could right the ship. And don't forget, the Cubs bullpen started out very shakily, and they've been pretty good for the most part lately.
Well, they did cost them a game today, so, but yeah, you know, my whole concern is the fact though that, you know, the Cubs aren't asking their bullpen to cover four innings a game. You know, I mean, if you know, John Lester or Cole Hamels or Yu Darvish can give them six or seven innings, they're willing to let them go. In Milwaukee, you know, they're really not willing to let these guys go past five. You know, it's just kind of the way they set everything up. And, you know, in the end, again, you know, we're looking at a boatload of innings that you're going to ask a bullpen to cover. And you're going to need a lot of depth to get that done. And I don't think any team has that.
No, they don't. And that was going to really hurt the Brewers in the course of a long season. Especially as you pointed out, when the top guy only has 27 innings, averaging a little over five innings a game, and he's a top guy.
Yeah, you know, and I get kind of, you know, that's the way baseball goes. But in a long season like this, you've got to allow that guy to work six or into the seventh if he can give it to you. You know, you just can't go, okay, well, he's going through the order the third time, take him out. You know, you got to at least give these guys a shot. Hey, maybe he only gives you five and a third and five and two thirds, but that's two extra outs your bullpen just doesn't have to deal with.
Yeah, you got to say that it looks encouraging for the Cubs starters because they've all been pitching five, six innings at least over the last few starts, even though last night Hamels wasn't all that great, but he did only give up three runs.
You know, that was my thing, you know, looking at this, is when you look at the teams, the Cubs really have the best starting rotation, easily. One through five, the Cubs had the best rotation, and their lineup was just as good as anybody else's. I know St. Louis has a really good lineup, and so does Milwaukee, and obviously Cincinnati, but they're, you know, I don't think they're a factor. But the Cubs easily have one through five have the better rotation. And that's just what ticked me off so much this offseason when they didn't go get bullpen help. And they sat on their hands and saved money because they didn't want to pay the luxury tax. And their big bullpen signing was Brad Brock.
Yeah, they certainly didn't go over up to any big names. And there are still a couple of names available on the open market that haven't signed yet, which is incredible now. We're going into May next week.
I didn't want to hear the BS about, well, you know, we've got Brandon Morrow, because you knew Brandon Morrow wasn't going to be ready. So, you know, maybe he'll help out after the All-Star break and you can pretend like he was a trade acquisition. But, you know, they knew they needed somebody and they ignored it.
Yeah. Are you all that confident that he's going to be ready to go after the All-Star break? I'm not.
You know, I think eventually, you know, I mean, sooner or later he's got to get healthy. You know, I mean, I don't know what he'll give them, but he, his resume, when he pitches, he's good. It's just he doesn't pitch that much.
No, and say he does come back later on after the All-Star break, how effective will he be?
he should be okay. He'll be a plus over some of these other journeymen that they're running out there, the Allen Websters or the Tim Collins. And, at this point, anytime Tim Collins comes in, I want to start drinking Tom Collins. Oh, where's my rim shot when I need it? Jeez.
Hey, that's a good one. You don't have to worry about Tim Collins for a while, at least, because he's back in Iowa.
He's definitely an upgrade over, the 8-plus ERA of Carl Edwards Jr. before he went away.
Yeah, and he hasn't been all that great in Iowa. And besides what he's suffering, he's on the disabled list there with a hand injury.
Yeah, well, sadly, that's probably the best place for him until they can figure out, how to easily get him out of town before anybody notices he's gone, because they trumpeted him for so many years, and it's clear that he's just a bust. So it's probably time to move on. Maybe they can get him and Ian Happ and go to somewhere and pick something. Somebody's got a bag of balls or some extra socks or something.
There was a big article in the paper today about Ian Happ. He never wants to go back into the minors again, which is great to have that optimism considering how he's done so far in Iowa since he's been sent down.
Yeah, well, he wouldn't have had to if he didn't suck in spring training. So
no, it's true. And he's continued to suck in Iowa. And now he's at the AAA level, and he's still striking out at an enormous rate. And his average is, 220, 230? Last time I looked.
Maybe there's room at AA.
Yeah, maybe they can send him down there where he can get his stroke back. I don't know.
Hey, maybe the Cubs could swap him for Tim Tebow, and the Cubs could get Tebow.
Yeah, that's right. He could should be an addition to them. And I wonder when the Cubs are going to send Chris Bryan down.
Yeah, he's looking like, of course, to be fair, Rizzo isn't hitting much better either, so they both got to figure out what the heck is going on there. So,
you really can't worry about Rizzo because he's a notorious slow starter. In fact, his stats this year, I think, maybe a little bit higher than what he did in April last year. And look how, at the end of the year, he had over 100 RBIs and 25 home runs and a .280 batting average. So I'm not concerned about Rizzo, but I am really concerned about Chris Bryan. Today, 0-for-2, a horrible strikeout and a ground ball. He did walk a couple of times. But something's wrong. Something's drastically wrong.
Maybe Chris Davis was just a slow starter with the Orioles. So, there's a lot to be concerned with a lot of these guys. But,
Chris Davis's average is up to 155 now, so what the heck? That's pretty good considering how he started, right?
That's all it was. He was just off to a slow start, and now he's raking. So, not a
155.
No problem at all.
We've heard of slow starts before, but his was absolutely ridiculous.
Yeah, well, somebody's got to hold that record, and, luckily for him, he gets to be that guy.
Yeah, he's in the record books. And how many did he go? 53, 54, 55 at that?
Yeah, 54, something like that. Yeah, it was.
45, he got a hit.
There were a couple times I saw a couple of his bats, and he hit the ball hard. It just happened to be right at guys, and it's like, man, that's when you know you're having bad luck. So,
if he took away those 55 at bats, I bet his average would be over 300 now.
Probably, we'll see. But here's the rest of the schedule tonight. It's obviously being Thursday, it's a little shorter. We got the Braves at the Reds, the Marlins at the Phillies, the Tigers at the Red Sox. If you paid for the Mickey Mouse app, you can watch the Indians at the Astros. We got the Yankees at the Angels and the Rangers at the Mariners. And that brings me to the point, how about those Yankees, huh? They put their 15th guy on the disabled list, Dan's guy Clint Frazier. Humorously, they went out and acquired another one of Dan's guy Cameron Maben, and they've still won 6 in a row, and, they're the second team over 500 in the AL East. They're kind of sneaking up on the Rays there.
They are, and And they have a lot of talent on the team, but this is just an inordinate amount of injuries that they suffered at the beginning of the season. I'm surprised Chapman's not on the list.
Yeah. Well, you know, you just got to wonder how this team's going to get going once, you know, they actually get the majority of their, you know, their guys back. You know, I mean, if they're hanging around up here with, you know, basically the AAA Yankees, you know, how's it going to work out when, you know, we see guys like, you know, Judge and Stanton and, you know, Severino gets back on the mound and Betances gets back in the bullpen. You know, that's going to be a nasty-looking team there.
Well, I think that, as you well know, I predicted the Yankees to win the division, and I think they're going to win it handily once they become healthy.
So, yeah, and I was looking, I was going to say, I don't think, you know, I know they keep saying Miguel Andujar is expected back sometime next month, but I kind of see that being a longer-term injury with that, and I won't be surprised if he's done for the year. You know, Severino could be in that same point now. He had the big setback with the, what was it, the grade 2 lat strain. So, you know, they may not get everybody back, but eventually, you know, like guys like Stanton and Judge will be back in the lineup, and, you know, Didi Gregorius comes back after, you know, right around the All-Star break, so that'll help.
For sure. You think Boston has a possibility of ever recovering from the start they've had this season? It's going to be hard for them, really hard for them to become a contender.
Yeah, you know, the longer things obviously go on like this, the harder it, you know, it's going to get for them. And you just kind of, you wonder at this point if it was World Series hangover or if they just kind of shafted themselves in spring training by trying to take it easy and not getting their work in, and now they're paying for it during the regular season.
Yeah, because it's going to be hard for them because they're pretty much buried in last place now, correct?
No, I think they're ahead of, I think they're ahead of Baltimore.
Oh, that's right.
I think they're a half game ahead of Baltimore.
Yeah, well, that's a good team to be ahead of, but it's still going to be tough for them to make up all that ground, even though we're not that far into the season because they have three teams ahead of them. So it's not going to be an easy task for them to start becoming a contender again. Something is wrong. We as you pointed out, you talked about the World Series hangover, but this is ridiculous.
Yeah, well, you know, they admitted that, you know, they took it easy on their pitchers. You know, they didn't really work their starters too hard in spring training because of the late pitching. You know, the late playing day, playing until almost November. And, you know, you look at it now, and it clearly was an incredibly stupid move on their part. You know, I know Rick Porcello goes tonight for them. He's 0-3 with an 8.47 ERA. So maybe he could have used a little extra spring training work, huh?
Yeah, what about Chris Sales? Has he won a game yet?
No, he's actually 0-4, but the ERA is down to 7.43. So,
oh, it's getting better, huh?
Yeah, you know, and then, you know, they paid Nathan Eovaldi all that money, and he got hurt. He's going to miss 6 to 8 weeks. That's no real surprise there that he's hurt because that's what he does. David Price, well, you know, to be fair, Hector Velasquez has been decent since they moved him into the rotation. You know, he hasn't won any games, but at least the ERA is only 3.94. And David Price has been solid. But, yeah, it's just kind of stupid when you try to reinvent the wheel and I'm not going to work my guys, and now we got to get to the point where they need to work, and these games count. So now you're getting guys working games
right
that count. That's just an incredibly stupid decision.
And it's really backfiring on them. And granted, even the Cubs had the World Series hangover, and Houston had a World Series hangover, but it looked like Boston was so dominant when they won last year and the playoffs just breezing through everything that they were going to be a dynasty. And it's just the opposite is happening so far.
Yeah, it's just been, you know, I mean, there's really no good way to describe it. I mean, you know, the clear finger point, and nobody's really going to do it, is going to be the way that they handle spring training. But nobody's going to jump up and down on that bandwagon. And, you know, maybe it will work to their advantage, and come the second half of the season, their guys will be ready and they'll start rolling. But, yeah, the question by then is, will it be too late?
Yeah, it's going to be an uphill battle, and will it be in time when they start making their move?
So, yeah, you know, that's the tough thing. I mean, if the Yankees get rolling and it takes the Red Sox longer to get going, then basically you're playing for a wild card spot, because the Yankees are going to run away and hide in the division, kind of like the Red Sox did last year.
Yeah, exactly, and that might happen. I would not be surprised if that happened in the AL East this season.
So yeah, you know, you gotta be careful. You know, you gotta be careful with that when you get off the starts like that. And even though it is early, you know, you can get too far down even in April.
Yeah, there has been a lot of parity in both leagues this year, I'm finding out. I mean, no one's really running away and hiding or super dominant like there has been in teams in years past. And even take a look at the National League, how closely bunched they are. Every one of the divisions, there's no one really dominant.
Yeah, that's because they just all stink. Oh, so... You know, sooner or later somebody will get rolling, and you know, you do wonder how much health is playing a factor with these guys right now. So, you know.
Now, I know we've talked about this before, but I cannot understand why there seems to be so many more injuries in the major leagues over the last 5-10 years than there has been in years past, considering all the improvements they've made in terms of conditioning and exercises and vitamins and everything else. But it seems it's worse than ever. I just don't understand why there's so many injuries now. You would think, well, just the opposite, but it doesn't seem to be the case.
Yeah, you know, you would think it's just kind of... there's been so many different answers to how it kind of goes or how it works out. And, I know there are a lot of guys who blame too much weightlifting. You know,
yeah,
these guys are getting too muscular. And, you know, it's to the point where it's kind of like, oh, okay, well, we've got all this going on, and... You know, now we're hurting things because they're too, you know, just too big and too strong, instead of being lean and, you know, like a better look for a baseball player. But since everyone wants to hit home runs, you think you need to be the big, you know, that guy.
Well, that's the name of the game now, right? The long ball. And
yeah,
we talked about that before, and I'm wondering if everybody's trying to get on the bandwagon and hit the ball out of the park and doing the exercises that would enhance their strength, and then wind up getting hurt in the process.
So, yeah, you know, that's, again, you know, it's kind of the way the game has went, and it's just, it's a little sad. It's like, really, this is where we're going here, but, that's where sabermetrics comes in, and that's how it ruins the game. You know, it's like, well, Here's all these guys with all this, and, you know, if you don't do this, this, and this, it doesn't work. So, hey, here you are.
Yeah, and I'm not sure the sabermetrics and everything else is working the way they thought it would.
No, well, you know, I mean, in some cases, you know, it's easy. You know, I mean, when you look at certain things, you're like, oh, yeah, you know, that makes really good sense. I mean, You can apply sabermetrics to a guy like Mike Trout, and Mike Trout is still going to be the best player in the game. That's no big deal. But for these other things that they try to do it for, I don't think it's helped out as much as they believe it has. So.
No. The thing that makes it so much difficult, I found, in terms of that, is that there's certain intangibles that a winning player has that can't be measured in terms of sabermetrics.
Right.
And there are a few players like that, and trying to figure out the way a winner works. There's certain things that they have, maybe the killer instinct, the will to win, the ability to hit in the clutch. Can that be measured statistically? I'm not quite sure if that can be done that way or not.
No, I don't think you can. And, you know, obviously the other thing it killed is, you know, managers no longer play hunches because, you know, you're pointed in the direction of, well, sabermetrics says I do this, so I do this.
I wonder if there's any managers now that deviate from that anymore.
Yeah, I don't think there are too many. I mean, like, you know, we found out during the World Series last year that in reality the Dodgers front office was managing the team. You know, they were sending the lineups down. They were, you know, they were instructing which pitchers were available. And, you know, Dave Roberts really, he was basically a puppet. You know, he was the puppet that took the lineup card out because they didn't allow him to do anything.
No, well, that worked in the playoffs until he got to the World Series.
Yeah. You know, and, like, the humorous thing is, like, you know, the Brewers figured it out, you know, and they started doing stuff to him. Like, you know, they had Wade Miley start that one playoff game. He faced one guy, and they took him out. And then the Dodgers went through and literally changed their lineup because they went from a lefty to a righty. And they weren't sabermetrically set up to face a right-handed pitcher.
No.
And it was just like, you're kidding me. You're really going to do this.
It could really change the game. And another thing that, to me, has changed the game quite a bit, and I'm sure it's been talked about, but I'd like your opinion on it, is the positioning of the infielders.
Yeah, you know, one of the things that just drives me completely nuts, because it's unbelievable how ill-equipped a professional hitter is to hit the other way, or just the refusal to hit the other way, you know, in some cases.
The thing today is interesting. I thought that when Zobrist hit that ball, I think it was the ninth inning, under a normal configuration for the infielder, that would have been a hit right up the middle. But I think the shortstop was playing right behind second base and turned it into an easy double play. Normal positioning, that's a hit. So they really, it worked out for them this time. Will it work out for them the next time? But the hitters don't seem to be able to adjust the way these things are configured, it seems to me. There should be ways that they should be able to combat that positioning.
Yeah, well, you know, like I've heard a lot of people cry about it, and the weird thing is, isn't that smart baseball? I mean, you're doing your advanced scouting, you're paying attention to how this guy hits, and you're getting him out by having your guys in the right place. Now, it's his job to adjust and, you know, hit the ball the other way or – you know, whatever he has to do in whatever situation he's put in. But yet all I hear is a lot of these guys crying because obviously it takes away a little bit of the guy's power, and all these idiots want, like, you know, Brian Kenny and all the sabermetric guys is home runs. That's all they care about is home runs, exit velocity, and launch angle. They don't care about anything else. And obviously these defenses are going to take away from that if guys start hitting the other way. But there's nothing saying a guy can't hit a home run the opposite way.
No, hit the right field to the left. It will be really interesting to see a professional batter like Zobrist take a look and say, hey, the shortstop is playing me right behind second base. Maybe I can drive the ball between short and third for the hit.
Uh-oh.
But Yep. Well, sure enough, he hit right into
my favorite guy was, you know, Tony Gwynn. You know, like he was talking, you know, years ago, they started to play him a little bit more as a pull hitter. And somebody was talking to him about his approach, and he goes, well, with the way they're playing me, he goes, I'm just going to ground out to the shortstop, and it's going to go into left field because he's not there. So, you know,
yeah.
Sound like a pretty good strategy. You're not there. Well, I want, you know, that's where I want to hit it.
There's a famous old-time player. You probably don't even know the name. Willie Keeler. You ever hear that name?
Oh, yeah. Wee Willie Keeler.
You've heard of Wee Willie Keeler. Keeler. Well, he had a famous line. He says he wasn't a long ball hitter. He wasn't a power hitter. He said, I hit him where they ain't.
I mean, I didn't get to see him play live like you did, but I know the name. He's one of the all-time hits leaders in baseball.
Yes, many, many games I went out in person to see him play because there was no TV in those days and not even any radio broadcasts, but I was able to manage to see him play a few times.
Yeah, no, did he start in the 1800s? Was he one of the original guys who started playing?
Maybe the 1920s,
yeah.
I think. But I have to look it up to be sure, but I believe it was in the 1920s. Maybe in the Babe Ruth era, possibly.
I can check here real quick.
Check
actually,
your handy computer.
So, yeah, he played from 1892 to 1910.
Ah, I'm a little off. I thought it was 1920. Oh. See, I was off 10 years. Hey, what's a decade or two, right, between friends?
So, yeah, he was, that's no surprise he was a Hall of Famer. Won a couple batting titles back in his day, hit 400, you know, had a career 341 average. But, you know, none of these guys matter. So, you know, because his launch angle was bad. So,
yeah, he probably wouldn't be on the team nowadays.
He had a poor effective velocity. So, you know, it doesn't matter that he got 239 hits one season. That doesn't matter at all. So.
Yeah. I'm glad you're a baseball historian to know these things.
Well, you know. Yes. Sadly, I have not, you know, I have too much free time, and that's what I end up doing. So, you know.
Well, I hope you made your selections for tonight for your fantasy leagues.
Yeah. So hopefully it works out. I had a rough night last night. I need to bounce back and get a little something going, but I need the Yankee Angel lineup to come out. They've got the late game and I got a few guys in for that, but I gotta get that damn lineup and make sure everybody's playing.
Yeah, that's important too, you know. When you make your selections and there's a player who's not going to be in the game, last minute change, you've got to start hustling to make some adjustments.
So, and, you know, luckily, you know, it used to be the FanDuel lineups used to lock when that first game started. You know, like it would lock it. I think it's 6 o'clock or whatever the first games are starting our time. Even though the West Coast games wouldn't start till later, you were just kind of SOL if you had a West Coast guy in and the lineup locked him, then he didn't play. Now they've added, you know, they have a late swap. So it works out nicely for you. You can go in and swap out your later guys if you need to.
Well, that seems a more fair – it seems a fairer solution to me considering the 2 or 3 hour time difference between the East Coast and the West Coast.
And I do think I'll be okay tonight because I was able to work Starling Castro into my lineup. So I think that'll work out for me.
Well, Starlin Castro certainly has a lot of hits amassed during his major league career, hasn't he? He's way up there now in terms of total overall
for a while
hits.
He was a 200 hit season guy with the Cubs, so
yeah.
You know, he didn't become a bad Cub player until, you know, Theo and Jed came to town. You know, for the longest time, he was, you know, the face of the franchise and. he was going to be the guy that they built around, and then Theo and Jed rolled in, and he was a pariah after that. So
yeah, it's too bad they didn't move him. They took a long time to move him from short to second base, because truth be told, when he was a butcher as a shortstop for the Cubs, he made a lot of errors.
But he's a decent second baseman, so it's too bad they didn't find that out earlier. Maybe he'd still be.
That's true. Absolutely true.
You know, it's disappointing he's stuck in Miami now, where, you know, he's got no shot at winning. You know, I think he left the Cubs right before, you know, they got really good. At least he was on a couple good Yankee teams, but, you know, then he ends up getting shipped off to Miami, where about his only hope there is he'll be their representative in the All-Star game every year, because they don't have anybody else.
No. He looks very young, doesn't he? I mean, you ever take a look at his face? He's a very youthful-looking player, even though he's been around a while.
Yeah, well, you know, the weird thing is he's still not even 30.
So when he first started playing for the Cubs, was he under 20? Or when he started playing for the Cubs?
He was actually 20. He was 20.
20.
Yeah.
So he's had 10 years in the big leagues. So I think Mr. Castor was set financially, at least that much.
Yeah, you know, and he's going to go, you know, in a little bit here, he's going to go past 1,500 career hits. So he's going to end up with, you know, like I don't think he'll play long enough to be a 3,000-hit guy. But, he's probably got a good shot at getting over, 2,500 hits and, being one of those guys, as, you know, long as he can kind of hang around. He'll have some good career numbers by the time he's done.
Yeah, I think you're right. I think he'll have in the mid 2,000 range in terms of hits by the time when it's all said and done.
So, and he's got this year and next year left on his contract. So it'll be interesting as a 31-year-old free agent who kind of looks at him or possibly thinks about bringing him in.
Well, at 31 is not that old, and even though he has a lot of longevity in the league, and he seems to be a pretty consistent hitter. He always seems to hit, 270, 280, 290 every year.
Yep. He's a career 281 hitter, and he's been relatively healthy. He only had the 1 year in New York where he played 112 games because he was dinged up. But other than that, his next lowest one is 134. So he plays, there's no real injury deal with him. So,
yeah, he's been very durable except for that 1 year with the Yankees. That was the only year, I think, that he played in such few games.
But we'll see. But, anyways, we're about, an hour and 15 minutes from the NFL draft kicking off. And you should, if you want to watch this, you shouldn't have any problems finding it, because it's on ABC, it's on the Mickey Mouse Network, and, of course, the NFL Network, which I no longer get thanks to AT&T, or I should just say UVerse, because apparently you still get it if you have DirecTV. But UVerse has dropped it. So, yeah, we're, just a short bit away, and I guess the big question is going to, right off the bat, is will the Cardinals actually take Kyler Murray, who everybody seems to think is now going to be the greatest quarterback in NFL history? But I don't really buy it. Here locally, well, we won't get to see the Bears pick till what? Sometime late tomorrow night.
No, they pick number 87. Is that their first pick?
Yeah, I don't even know. That's the third round, right, is their first pick. So
Right. So not much excitement, but I'm actually shocked, though, to see that the NFL draft is actually on ABC, the major ABC channel, network channel. I can't see too many people tuning into that. It's just to make it – I could see it on ESPN, or as you say, or the NFL Network, but – to put it on ABC, I just can't see him getting a rating on that show.
Well, the weird thing is it normally does pretty well in the rating, which, if you think about it, it's, we're coming down to the end of the, you know, the television year. So there's a lot of reruns out there now. You know, people are amping up for their series finale. So, if you're a fan, and, you know, football always does well in the ratings. I mean, I know because it wasn't down last year, nobody said anything because the ratings were actually up. But, you know, even like the Pro Bowl gets good ratings, and who the hell wants to watch the Pro Bowl?
Not me. Well, I know one person that's very upset about the NFL draft being on ABC tonight, and that's Linda, because that Grey's Anatomy is not going to be on. I know she likes to watch Grey's Anatomy, you know. She's out of luck. She'll have to wait till next
week
to see that one.
So, you know, she can watch a Netflix movie or something.
That's true. We can always dig out Netflix or watch something on Amazon streaming. There's just so much available to watch. It's amazing
tell her to start watching Pine Gap on Netflix, and then maybe she can tell me what the hell's going on, because I'm about 5 episodes in, and I just can't decide if I want to continue to watch it or not. So
what's the name of that show? I missed the name of that show. What's the name of it?
Pine Gap. So
I haven't seen that one yet.
Yeah, I'm disappointed that I've seen it to this point, but that's a whole other story. So kind of getting back to the draft, I'm a little interested to see how this Cardinal thing works out. You know, they spent the number 10 pick on a quarterback last year, but of course, you know, they changed the coaching staff and this guy wants his own quarterback. I did get a kick out of, I think it was yesterday or maybe it was Tuesday, that reports came out that maybe the Cardinals won't take Kyler Murray and they'll go someplace else. And it was a gigantic smokescreen to try to draw up some trade rumors for Josh Rosen, and none of it worked out. So I laughed pretty hard at them for that. They've botched this pretty badly. But
I just don't know.
Are you convinced a 5'9 running quarterback is going to be their ticket to salvation in the NFL?
His size bothers me. I mean, you don't see too many quarterbacks that size that make it big in the NFL. I'm trying to think now with Fran Tarkenton. Wasn't he a smaller-sized quarterback?
Oh, boy, I don't know if I can find Fran Tarkenton's height, but I will see what we can come up with here. But, yeah, I believe he was a smaller guy, but they list him at 6 feet. So,
yeah, you see, this guy, a 5'9 quarterback, that I have serious reservations about whether he is going to really establish himself as a top-notch NFL quarterback.
Yeah, well, my biggest concern is they keep talking about he's so fast. Oh, look how fast he is. What they don't realize is those guys on the defensive ball are faster. You know, I mean, there were 240 linebackers that ran the same 40 time as he did at the combine. How much faster is he than one of these guys? And, you know, I get it. You know, you have a lot of success in college. It looks great, but, you know, college is wide open now, and I mean, you know, you play a lot of teams that, let's face it, you shouldn't be playing. You know, and you run it, you put up some pretty nice stats, and you know, but now you're against the elite here. I mean, this is the best of the best, and I just don't know how much success there is down the road for him. I mean, maybe if they could design the offense correctly around him, you know, and everybody wants to say, well, you know, look at Drew Brees. Well, you know, Drew Brees is kind of the anomaly to all this. No one else has came out and been Drew Brees.
No. And I would be concerned about his durability myself.
Yeah, well, you know, we're going to see. I mean, if he takes a big shot, then, you know, how he handles it. I mean, he's still young now, so, you know, maybe he'll be okay early. But, you know, as, you know, things build up and that career gets going, you know, you want to – I mean, look at Robert Griffin III. He came out and he had a fantastic year as a rookie – and he was never the same since.
No. No. No, he has not been.
No.
Yeah, durability
is
quite important, I think, in a quarterback, an NFL quarterback. And although I haven't been all that enchanted with Trubisky for the Bears as a top-notch quarterback, I have been impressed with his durability. He's a tough kid.
Yeah, well, you know, he did improve last year, so that's a plus. But, you know, I think the other thing that worries me about the Cardinals is they're going to pass on what looks like, and again, you know, you never know. It's the draft. You never know how these guys work out. But they're going to pass on what looks like some really good defensive players. And, you know, these guys who get after the quarterback can really help the team. But, you know, they're going to go away and they're going to go get what is allegedly their franchise quarterback. And I just don't know if he's head and shoulders that much better and he's going to, make this team a playoff team in 2 or 3 years.
Yeah, I think it's a very risky decision by the Cardinals if they do pick him as their number one draft choice. Do you think it's a given? You think there's no doubt about it? It's automatic?
You know, it looks like it. You know, all the experts, you know, the guys who really study it are saying he's the pick. So it's looking like he's definitely the pick here. But, yeah, you look around, I mean, his skill players are getting older. You know, this is probably it for Larry Fitzgerald. I can't see him playing more than maybe 1 or 2 more years. David Johnson, you know, is getting up there in age. So now you've got your top wide receiver and your top running back who are going to be gone before this kid develops into anything. So,
yeah,
you know, you're replacing those guys, and I really think they'd be better grabbing the defensive lineman. And, I mean, they don't even know what Josh Rosen is yet. How do you know he's not the franchise quarterback? You picked him at 10.
No. No, and that's true. And I would be inclined to pick a defensive player as compared to him. But what do I know? I mean, and we'll see how it turns out. It could really hurt them in the for years if he doesn't turn out to be the franchise quarterback that I think he's going to be. This is really, I mean, not that they're a great team to begin with, but it's going to make it even worse for them if he's not the player that they think he is, if he doesn't turn out to be a super quarterback.
Yeah, well, you can go back and kind of look at the Browns and just be kind of like, yeah, you know, how long it took them. And it looks like they finally got it right last year with Baker Mayfield. But, you know, I mean, even he's only had 1 year, so we don't know.
No. This is a critical decision for them. Yeah, really critical. I'm more inclined to think that they would be maybe smarter to go for a defensive player, but I don't think it's going to turn out that way.
Yeah, I did look. The Bears have just 5 picks in this draft. They have 87 in the third round, 126 in the fourth, 162 in the fifth, and then 222 and 238 in the seventh round.
Yeah, they don't pick in the sixth round, correct? I believe that's one of the things they gave up. So they go from the fifth round to the seventh round.
So yeah, they're really going to need to hit on these picks. So
I think there'll probably be some decent running backs available in the 87th pick, though, that they might be able to get someone who work out for them.
Yeah, well, the mock draft they have here, and I know absolutely nothing about this guy, Miles Sanders from Penn State is the pick on this site at 87.
Right.
He's a running back. But, yeah, I couldn't tell you. You know, he could walk in the room and I wouldn't know who he was, so...
Well, they have a couple of other running
yeah.
backs on the roster right now that might be serviceable for the Bears, but it'll be interesting to see what happens. So you won't know
yeah,
until tomorrow.
It'll definitely be interesting. But, yeah, if you're a Bears fan, you don't even have to tune in today, and you can even wait till tomorrow because that pick 87 isn't coming up for, you know, probably 2 hours into the draft with the way that moves along. So,
yeah, I think you're right, though. I think they are going to probably select this guy from Penn State. What I've been reading, that seems to be the selection they're going with.
Yeah, if he's there, of course. I mean, we won't know, you know, until things roll along if he's actually
available.
Still going to be there. So,
yeah, he may not be available. You don't know. Well, it certainly takes away the interest from the draft in tonight's draft in the Chicago market, at least, right?
Yeah, that's got to be tough there for their ratings is the fact that, yeah, I mean, I don't know, you know, if you're a Bears fan, why would you even tune in? You know they're not going to be trading up. They don't have the ammo you need to trade up in the draft, so they won't be trading up in the first round.
No.
And it's, you know, so, what are you going to do?
There was some speculation and maybe they would make a deal somewhere along the line, but I don't see it happening with what they have. I don't think they'll be making any kind of a deal. I think we're going to have to wait until the pick number 87 to find out what happens.
Yeah, because, if you think about it, it would be great if they could jump up and, what are you going to have to give up to get it? And it's just not worth it.
That's it.
do you have anybody that they're going to give you a number one pick for? So
yeah, exactly right. And, of course, there's also speculation about the fact that Robbie Gould didn't go to the voluntary camp and wants to be traded closer to where his family is. And how much closer would it be than Chicago, where he lives? But I don't think it's going to happen. I don't think it's going to happen.
No, sadly, I don't. You know, as nice as it would be for them to upgrade the kicker position like that, I mean, they signed their guy and, whoever he was this offseason. And, you know, that's probably who they'll run with. And we'll just have to kind of be stuck with it.
Well, they're going to have to eat $3.5 million this year anyway, so I don't think they're going to sign someone for $5 million.
Yeah, that's the other reason they won't bring him in. You know, you'll tie up all that money in the kicking position. I know the Ravens just did it, but that was with Justin Tucker, and if he's not the best kicker in the league, he's the second best kicker in the league. So I could see that, but you're not. Yeah, I like Robbie Gould, and he's very accurate, but is he? You know, you're not going to tie up that extra money.
No, I don't think so. And that'll be.
You know, I guess
it'll be interesting to see who they finally wind up getting.
So we'll see. But yeah, it's always I'm waiting to see like the first surprise of the draft, and my guess is it'll happen at number four when the Raiders get the pick, because God only knows what the Raiders will do.
There's always one or two surprises in the first 10 players that are selected.
Yeah.
And I don't see too much in the way of surprises in the first three, but after that there might be some things that you don't anticipate happening.
No, and that's where that's where Oakland comes in, because they pick four.
Right.
We'll see. I mean, it'll give us something to talk about tomorrow.
That's right.
And you know the default was going on. Get over to sportscommercial.com and tell me what's going on with Twitter. Talk to me over to the Facebook page and give that a link. But don't forget to send it to me if you have a sports time radio. Feel free to look me up on Twitter if you'd like. I am at sportscommercial. And as always, we're thanks for coming on live. But remember, the podcast is available for you to listen to anytime you want at tunein.com.